I felt like someone was tickling my spine with an icicle. "Who will?" I said. "Somebody from the coven," she said, and she glanced back at me. "That's what they call it. You know, the group that, eats people." I thought of the file I had seen on the computer. Coven. I wished I had copied it and run for home. "How do you know they're coming?" I said. She shrugged again. "They have to feed me, like, 3 times a day, you know." "Why should they?" I said. "If they're just going to kill you, why do they have to take care of you?" She gave me a you-are-so-dumb look, combined with a head shake. "They're going to eat me, not kill me," she said. "They don't want me to get all sick and skinny. I gotta be, you know, chubbed up, marbled, for flavor." Between my job and my hobby, I have to say without bragging that I have a pretty strong stomach. But this was putting it to a real test. The idea that she would cheerfully eat 3 healthy meals a day so her flesh would taste better was just a little too much before breakfast, and I turned away again. But happily for my appetite, a practical thought nudged its way in. "How many of them will come?" I asked. She looked at me, then looked away. "I don't know," she said. "It's usually just 2 guys, in case, you know, I decide to change my mind and run, but..." She looked at me and then down at her feet. "I think Vlad is coming with them this time," she said at last, and it did not sound like a happy thought. "Why do you think that?" I said. She shook her head but did not look up. "When it was going to be Tyler," she said, "he started to come with them and he would, you know, do things to her." She licked her lips but still did not look up. "Not just, you know, not sex. I mean, not normal sex. He really, really hurt her. Like that was how he got off, and..." She shuddered, and at last she looked up. "I think that's why they put stuff in my food, some kind of tranquilizer," she said. "So it keeps me, you know, kind of calm and quiet. Because otherwise..." She looked away again. "Maybe he won't come," she said. "But at least 2 guys will come," I said. She nodded. "Yeah." "Are they armed?" I said, and she looked up at me blank. "You know, knives, guns, bazookas. Are they carrying any weapons?" "I don't know," she said. "I mean, I would." I thought that I would, too. And although it might have been uncharitable, I also thought that I would have noticed what weapons my captors were carrying. Of course, I didn't think of myself as a banquet, and that would almost certainly affect my powers of observation. So there would be 2 of them, probably armed, which probably meant guns, since this was Miami. And it might mean Bobby Acosta, too, who would have some kind of weapon, since he was a wealthy fugitive. And I was in a small room with no place to hide, and I was burdened with Samantha, who would probably yell, "Watch out!" at them if I tried to surprise them. On the plus side, my heart was pure, and I had a bent tire iron. It wasn't much, but I have learned that if you examine the situation carefully, you can almost always find a way to improve your odds. I stood up and looked around the room, thinking that someone might have left an assault rifle lying on a shelf. I even made myself touch the jars and look behind them, but no such luck. "Hey," Samantha said, "if you're thinking like, you know, I mean, I don't want to be rescued or anything." "I think that's wonderful," I said, "but I do." I looked at her, sitting there hunched up in her blanket. "I don't want to be eaten. I have a life and a family. I have a new baby," I said, "and I want to see her again. I want to watch her grow up and read her fairy stories." She flinched a little bit and looked uncertain. "What's her name?" she said.
"Lillianne."
Samantha looked off to the side again, and I could see her trying to swim through the doubt, so I pushed a little.
"Samantha," I said, "whatever it is you want, you don't have the right to force it on me.